Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
Well, today is Memorial Day, or tomorrow actually is, but it's Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day weekend is where we stop and we show our gratitude towards the people who gave the ultimate sacrifice, to stop and show how grateful for we are, to give thanks to the people who, you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice. And tomorrow, I found a list of them. In every state, there are VA cemeteries where people will be stopping and doing performing special ceremonies in order to show how grateful they are for the people who gave their life for our freedom. I know in the CrossFit community that I belong to and that many of you belong to, we every year this time, we do the Murph workout in honor of Mike Murphy. And several of you guys did that this weekend. I'm going to be doing it tomorrow. It's a one-mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, and another mile run in a 20-pound vest. Doesn't that sound fun? But that was Mike Murphy's workout that they created in honor of him, who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, his story is told in the movie Lone Survivor. But there's so many different forms that our nation will be showing how grateful they are for expressing gratitude for what they did. And I was thinking about this weekend and what this weekend means and tried to apply it to the series that we're wrapping up today, Some Assembly Required. And what we've been talking about the last 5 weeks is that, you know, many times you view a family, and from the outside until you get into it, you're like, oh, family's great. I love family. I'll take one of those. You know, marriage looks a lot of fun. I'll get married. You know, I'd love a wife, I'd love a husband. Having kids, shoot, that looks like so fun. I'll get five, you know? I mean, please, Lord, twins. And then you get into it and you're like, Lord, please don't let it be twins, you know? Because what you realize really fast is that there is some assembly required. What you viewed, like many other things that we buy, we view it from a window, we view the perfect picture, we view the model put all together. And then you order it or you get it or the reality comes and it turns out there's some assembly required. It doesn't mean that that ideal picture, that image that you bought into isn't achievable. It is. The problem is that some work has to be done. There is some assembly required. So the question we've been trying to answer in this series is, how do I assemble the family we want to resemble? What work do I need to put into it? And you can look at all of our past messages and our podcasts or online on our website. You can watch them all and get caught up. But today I thought it would be really, really important to give you kind of your last Allen wrench tool that gratitude fits perfectly into this series. And I want to show you exactly how powerful gratitude can be in the family dynamic, in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids. I found a study this week in a psychology journal, Robert A. Simmons from the University of California. He did a study in 2003, and he took three random groups. He had three random groups here. And group one, they were assigned a gratitude task. So for 10 weeks, at the end of the week, they were told to sit down and think about what they were thankful for, to think about ways that they could, you know, show gratitude in their life. And so they were told to sit down and to every week turn in five things that they were grateful for. And so the students wrote things down like waking up this morning, the generosity of friends, to God for giving me determination, for wonderful parents, for the Lord for another day, and to the Rolling Stones for being the Rolling Stones, right? Something very important. And then there was a second group. The second group were told to record hassles. So for 10 weeks at the end of each week, they were told to write down and record at least five hassles in their life. And what they were told is they were explained what a hassle was. In their report, it says, hassles are irritants, things that annoy or bother you. They occur in various domains of your life. So think back over this week, and on the lines below, list up to five hassles that occurred this week. And so the students wrote down things like hard to find a parking place, messy kitchen that nobody will clean up, finances depleting quickly, having a horrible test in health psychology, stupid people driving, amen, and doing a favor for a friend who didn't appreciate it. That was group number two. And then group number three, they were the control group. They were told to just reflect. And so at the end of each week, for 10 weeks, they were told just reflect and write down five things that might have impacted your life this week. And so just like a control group should be, they were very neutral. And in their responses, they were 40% pleasant responses, 30% negative, and 30% neutral. So that control worked the way it was supposed to in this case study. At the end of the 10 weeks, they brought the three groups together. And they asked them what this experiment, how doing this impacted their lives. And the group that wrote down all the ways that they were grateful, the one that had the outlook of gratitude, they reported that they had higher rates of joy, happiness, and peace. They said very specific things. A large majority of them said that they felt healthier, they were more adept to exercise, they slept better, and they were more inclined to be generous. Now, the hassles group, the group that wrote down things that bothered them, things that annoyed them every week for 10 weeks, they reported higher levels of stress, embarrassment, and frustration. And they reported specifically loss of sleep, pain interference, lack of motivation, and feelings of being dissatisfied. And this is what the results were of the test. This is what they reported in the journal. They said a conscious focus on blessings have emotional and interpersonal benefits. Now, I'm going to make that really easy for you to remember. Let's look at this. Gratitude is the best attitude. Can you remember that? Gratitude is the best attitude. Gratitude literally has an effect on how you feel, how you think, even your physical ailments, how you're motivated. Gratitude is literally been proven to be the best attitude. To be pessimistic, to be negative, to have an outlook on life where you constantly report the things that are wrong, the things that are bothering you, the things that are annoying you, they have a huge impact on your life. Now, let's put this in the context that we've been talking about the last 5 weeks. Let's put this in the context of family. Isn't it true? Wouldn't you agree with me that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, we record our hassles in life more than we do our blessings? Isn't it true that when we get together in the family context, when we see each other at the end of the day, that we usually report our hassles in life more than we do the things that we could be grateful for? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that most of us, the way it goes whenever we come home from work, it's, hey, honey, how did your day go? Oh, my goodness, let me tell you. And we give a report. We just name off the list of everything that went wrong. I went into work today, and of course, because of that stupid meeting, I have to wear long sleeves and long pants, and it has to be tucked in. And of course, the air conditioner, it was not cold enough, and so I was hot, and I was sweaty, and my computer was slow, and the internet was slow, and they turned off the Wi-Fi, so I couldn't do anything on my phone, and I couldn't get my text messages, and I missed all these emails, and we had this dumb meeting over these policies, again, with all these people that I work with. And then we had to sit in the lunchroom, and we had to listen to Joyce tell us all about how she wants to lose weight, and she's still got that Snickers in her hand. And she just keeps talking about how she wants to lose weight with that stupid Snickers in her hand. And then I don't think I should have to work this hard. I wish I had more people on my team, and I really think I should get paid more for what I do. Well, sounds like not that bad of a day, right? Actually, a good report, a good day. How do you tell your spouse or your family you had a good day? How was your day? Fine. That's a good day, right? Fine is a good day, right? Never, ever, ever, never do you ever walk home and you say, honey, how was your day? How was your day? Oh, it was delightful. I walked home, or I drove to work. Everybody got to work safely. It was so nice to see everybody. Everyone was safe. There were no accidents. We walked, the lights were on. It was amazing. The air was blowing. My computer turned on. When I pressed the button, I got to sit down with Joyce. I am so hoping she loses that weight. I got to see all of my coworkers, and we worked together, and you know what? I got paid today, and I'm so grateful for it. Never, never, ever does that ever happen, right? But it doesn't just stop there. We don't just report our hassles in life to our family when we come home. We also do it to one another, right? How often do you, with your family, how often do you report to your family what you don't like more than what you do like about them? When it comes to your family, isn't it true that we don't just do it when we give reports about life? That how much of our conversations and our communication with each other is, let me tell you what I don't like about you. Let me tell you what I wish you would change. Let me tell you what I wish you would do differently, right? I mean, wives and husbands, married people for a minute. Let me talk to you. Wives, how often do you tell your husband how grateful you are for him compared to the things that frustrate you about him? Don't nudge anybody, okay? How often is the majority, again, not all, but the majority of your communication, I don't like, I wish you would, why didn't you, oh no, not again, right? The majority of our communication, really seriously, honestly, isn't it? If you think about it, it's why you're laughing, because there's some truth to it, is here are the things that bother me about you that I wish you would change. Husbands, what about your wives? How often in our communication do we try to share our frustrations, the things that are bothering us about them, instead of the things that we're grateful for, instead of the blessings that they are? Isn't it true that the majority of our communication is, oh no, you didn't, not again, I wish you would? Now, this will be a really one that'll hit home. Parents with your children, how much of the communication with your kids is, don't do that, stop that, don't put that in your mouth, don't lick that, not again? Think about it. If it was a balanced scale, how often do you really truly report your hassles compared to the communication you give of your gratitude, of how grateful you are, of how much of a blessing that they are? The truth is that most of the time we share what we don't like more than what we do like. And here's the thing, when we do that, when we spend the majority of our communication communicating what we don't like about the person, when we spend the majority of our communication, we've talked about in this whole thing, when there's conflict in the family, the real problem is you're not giving me what I want. That's the real problem. When we're in conflict, we could look at the family member and say, you're not giving me what I want. Whenever we report, hey, here's how you're not giving me what I want, when that's the majority of our conversation, here's how that translates into a feeling. Here's how your family member would put it. I don't feel like I'll ever be good enough. Right? It translates into this feeling, I don't feel like I'll ever be good enough. Because the majority of our conversation, the amount of time that you stop and go, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I need to speak to you about something. This is really, really important. Hey, the first thing, I've been waiting to give you a speech on this, is here's what I don't like about you. Here's how you're not giving me what I want. Here's what I wish you would change. And here's what I wish was different. And it translates into the family, into this feeling, I'll never be good enough, because all I hear from you is change. You're not doing this. You're not able to do this. I've told you 100 times. Stop doing. Start doing. And it's this constant communication that you're just not giving me what I want. And it comes out in this feeling that I will never be good enough. Some of you have heard these words from your spouse, haven't you? Some of you heard these words from your kid when they got to be a teenager and you couldn't understand why they couldn't change, why they couldn't communicate. And finally, your kid, they just got so emotional. They got so disturbed by it. And they're like, you know what, mom, dad, honey, I don't know why. Well, I just don't know what it is. But when I'm around you, when I'm in this house, I don't feel like I'll ever be good enough. I don't feel like I'll ever measure up. I don't feel like I'll ever be the son you want me to be. I don't feel like I'll ever be the daughter you want me to be. I don't feel like I'll ever be able to be the wife that you want me to be. I don't think I could ever be the husband that you want me to be. Because every time we talk, every time we're in communication, it's always sharing the hassles. It's always sharing what you don't like about me. You've had those fights. And you've had those conflicts. And you've had those communications, right? And some of you, you've really felt that way in your own home. Maybe you felt that way when you were a teenager. Maybe you're a grown adult and you still feel that way whenever you communicate with your parents. You're like, I don't know what it is I have to achieve. I don't know what it is I have to do to prove to my parents that I'm a success, that I'm a blessing. I don't know what I have to do to give them something to give me some gratefulness for, to say, good job, I'm so thankful for you. Here's what I like about you. And it's this constant feeling of not being enough. And that's the dangerous thing. In this balance of sharing our hassles, And what it all comes down to is the amount of acceptance and rejection that we share in the family context, right? The amount of acceptance and rejection that you share is going to shape and mold your family and what they look like in the future. It's going to shape your kid dramatically, the amount of acceptance and rejection that you share with your kid. It all starts in the home, right? We always look to the parents because our family, our home, that is supposed to be the safe place. That's where it's supposed to be like the standard, right? And so if somebody accepts me in the home, I could really sometimes care less what the world thinks, or the world's got to be pretty harsh to bring me down, because if my mom and my dad and my family accepts me and shares what they're grateful for and tells me what a blessing I am, it can outweigh all the garbage that the world tells me. But if the home is just a damaging place as the world and my school and my workplace is, I have no hope. And it's going to affect our kids. It's going to affect our marriages. Because we're going to go to work and we're going to go to school already with the mindset that I will never measure up. I will never be good enough. There is nothing that I can do right. And so the gauge that we could kind of use to keep our eye on this is exactly that. How much acceptance and rejection are we sharing in the home? And I think the final tool that we kind of all need to combat this is we need to have gratitude. That gratitude is the best attitude. And what we need to do is we need to decide ahead of time that we are going to show acceptance more than we are rejection. Right? Again, it's a balanced scale. And acceptance, what a blessing, gratitude. It needs to outweigh all the don'ts, stops, hassles. Here's what I don't like about you. Here's how you're not giving me what I want. We need to show gratitude more than we do the hassles to outweigh this. So let's again take this into the context of the family, right? We need to decide ahead of time that we are going to show gratitude to our family. So, husbands, what do you need to do in order to communicate gratitude to your wife? What is it that you feel like your wife needs to hear from you in order to know that she is appreciated, that she is good enough, that she has a place in this family, that she is doing above and beyond what she expects of herself and what you expect of yourself, how great she is? What is it you need to communicate to them to fill them up with love? And what is it that maybe you need to back off of and stop talking about and stop digging up and let go? What is it you need to communicate to your spouse? Wives, what do you need to communicate to your husband? What do you think it is that your husband needs to know ahead of time in order to feel loved, in order to fill them up with that gratitude, in order for them to walk away feeling like you are grateful for them, like they are the man of the house and they are loved and you appreciate them? What is it that you need to tell them? You need to decide ahead of time to tell them that. Because in the same way that you sit at home and you're doing something, you're like, I can't wait till they get home. Oh, I'm going to straighten them out. I've been preparing this speech all day. All day I've been preparing this speech, all right? And you know exactly what you're going to say. That's going to cut to the heart. At some point, you're going to say, you're just like your mother. And it's just going to tear them up, right? You have rehearsed the speech. No, you need to rehearse the speech of gratitude to them. That's what you need to rehearse. That's what you need to be ready and locked and loaded with, is as soon as they get home, bam, here's gratitude. Here's why I love you. Here's what a blessing you are. This is even more important with our kids, guys. Our children today, something is going on with our kids. I watched that show on Netflix just because it's the real world. I don't recommend you watch it for entertainment, but I watch it because as a pastor, I feel like I need to know it. But 13 Reasons Why. These kids and these stories of kids committing suicide and going through all this trauma and stuff. And I look at it and I look at what the real theme of the story is: kids who are broken. Kids who don't feel accepted, kids who don't feel loved, kids who don't feel like anybody cares about them. And so they make these decisions. Our children hear the majority of the time from us correction and don'ts and stop it's. And it communicates rejection to them. We need to decide ahead of time to pump our kids full of gratefulness, to share gratitude with them, and to show them how loved that they are. Dads, what does your daughter need to hear from you? The man in her life, the man who will shape who she marries one day. Men, what do your daughters need to hear from you in order to feel like they are good enough? Do you need to tell them that they're beautiful? Do you need to tell them that they're smart? Do you need to tell them how creative they are? What is it that you need to pump full of them in order to feel appreciated, in order to feel accepted in life? You need to decide ahead of time to communicate that to them. Moms, what do your sons need to hear from you? Dad, what do your sons need to hear from you? What do your boys need to hear from you in order to feel accepted, in order to feel like a man, in order to feel like they have a purpose in this life? What is it they need to hear from you? You need to decide ahead of time to communicate it to them. And then here's the thing too. You need to communicate it 10 times more than you think it needs to be communicated. You don't just need to communicate it once. You don't need to just say it once a day. You need to do it 10 times more, because on the scale, there should be more of an attitude of gratitude than anything else in the house, because it shapes us. It shapes who we are in the future. It shapes how we respond to things. And there's a great proverb that Solomon left us. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, there's a great proverb that he gave us that applies to this lesson today. And this is what he said. This is the Message translation of this. But he said, "The one who seeks good finds delight, but the student of evil becomes evil. Exploit or abuse your family and end with a fistful of air. Common sense tells you it's a stupid way to live." Now, let me translate that for you, although the last line pretty much sums it up. The one who seeks good finds good. I know some kids are difficult. Some husbands are difficult. Some wives are difficult. We have difficult people in our family. They make bad decisions. They have bad patterns. You wish you could shake them and wake them up. And you try to do that. You try to communicate that, right? But here's the thing, and here's a practice for you to take home today. Here's something for you to start doing right now when you leave this room. As bad or as frustrating of a pattern that they may be in, the one who seeks good is going to find delight. The one who can look at even the most difficult person or the difficult situation and find something to be grateful for, and who can communicate that and express acceptance and love to them, that person is going to find delight. The family member who can find that and express that to somebody, that's going to be the one who has a marriage that lasts 70 years. That's going to be the one who has a kid that even when they grow up and they move away, they're going to want to come back home at Christmas. Or on college breaks, they're going to want to come back and they're going to live with mom and dad for 3 months. They can't wait to come home. Because when they come home, they have a home and they have a family and they have parents and they have siblings who, no matter what happens in life, we have this ability to find the good in one another and express it. But the family, the mom, the dad, the spouse, who's a student of evil, who constantly communicates the hassles, who constantly communicates how you're not good enough, how you're not measuring up, how you're not giving me what I want, that person, the student of evil, they end up becoming evil. And here's the thing, the family that ends up exploiting or sharing how much they don't like about a family member to the point of abuse, the person that abuses their family, they will end up with a fistful of air. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's nothing. The person who exploits or abuses their family and all they do is share the negative, share what they don't like, share what bothers them about the other person. The family that does that, they will end up with nothing, because nobody wants to be in a marriage like that. And nobody wants to be in a relationship with a parent who constantly bombards them with what they don't like or what they don't accept about them. Nobody wants to stay close with their sibling or their cousin who does that. Nobody wants to call their parent during the weekday on the drive home from work just to hear how they're still not measuring up, how they're still not good enough. You do that and you'll end up with nothing. And let me tell you, like the Bible says, that's a stupid way to live. Don't do that to your family. Don't wreck yourself that way. The way to assemble the family you want to resemble, the tool that we all need to have, the tool that we need to bring into our home, into our marriages, into our relationships with our kids, is gratitude. It's the ability to find the good in each other, to find the blessings, to find what we're thankful for, and to share that with one another. So here's going to be kind of my challenge to you for this week. Even maybe when you go home, maybe on your ride home, maybe when you sit down this week for dinner or today, or I'm sure I got family in town this weekend. You may have family in town this weekend as well. You may get together to stop and at some point look at your family and to go around the room and tell them exactly what you are grateful for. Because you may think, oh, they know. They know that. They know I'm grateful for them. They know I love them. They know what I love about them. You know what? You assume that, but maybe they don't. Because maybe you just haven't shared it enough. Or maybe you shared it once, but honestly, you have shared so many of your hassles or what you don't like about them or what they've changed. It outweighs the one time that you've shared what you're grateful for. And so you really need to balance the scales this week. And you need to love them and you need to fill them up. And for some of you, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, I can't. Man, they're just so bad right now. They're irritating me. They're driving me crazy. You know, it's so tough. Here's something so interesting that I learned this week in my studies that just stuck with me. Do you know what the Latin word of grateful is? It's gratia. And do you know what it means? Grace. Grace. And as we've shared here before, do you know what the great thing about grace is? It's free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. And so some of you are thinking, I can't share what I'm grateful for. They haven't earned it. They haven't worked hard enough for it. They've been so bad. They've been such a disappointment right now. They've screwed up so many times. I can't share what I'm grateful for. I don't want to find anything because they haven't earned it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that is filled with grace. And here's the thing. When we talk about grace and we talk about gratefulness, the only thing that we're being asked to do is what God's Son Jesus did for us in the first place. Because Jesus looked at us at our very worst, while we were still sinners, while we were students of evil, while we were living our selfish way, and still in the midst of the muck and the sin and the selfishness we were living in, he found delight in us. He spotted something good. He spotted something so good that he said it was worth dying for. And he shared his grace with you. And he didn't make you pay for it. He didn't make you earn it. He didn't make you have to do anything for it. He gave it as a free gift because he loved you and because he wanted a relationship with you. And here's the thing, in your family context, whatever that context may be, everybody's got one. If you want a relationship with these people, if you want a marriage that lasts, if you want a relationship with your kid, where as old as they may grow up or wherever they may go, you're always connected, you're always still in love, you've become like friends more than anything else. If you want a sibling that you can always go back to, that you can always communicate to, if you want a cousin, a grandparent, a parent that you're always connected to, I'm telling you the tool that you need is gratitude, because gratitude is the best attitude. And when it's filled with grace and when it's filled with love, and when it's free without a catch, it's the same thing that Jesus Christ gave us. And it's the same gift that he's asking us to give others. Let's pray this morning. God, this morning I thank you so much for the gift of grace that you gave us. God, for being willing to look at us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of what we had going on, and to find something to take delight in, to find some kind of good that was left. And God, even when we were at our worst, you wanted a relationship with us so badly. You wanted to be with us for eternity so badly that you showed us the ultimate form of grace. You laid down your life for us. You sacrificed everything for us so that we could be in a relationship with you. Instead of condemning us, instead of reporting to us what you didn't like, you took us into your family. You adopted us. You made us children of God. And you gave your life for us. And so God, this morning, whatever context we're in, some of us, our marriages this morning are broken and busted up. It's a constant fight, and it's a constant sharing of what we don't like about each other, how we wish they would change, how we wish you would change. And we go back and forth with our kid right now. It's just full of arguments, and it's full of things we wish, ways we wish they were different. And God, this morning, I wish that this morning you would just take hold of our hearts and that you would fill it with the same grace that your Son, Jesus Christ, had for us, the same grace that you had for us, Father God. And would you fill that up, and would we be able this week to decide ahead of time that gratitude is the best attitude, and when we purposefully, actively find the good in one another and communicate it to one another, and not just once, 10 times more than we think that it needs to be told. Would our daughters, God, feel like they are loved, like they are beautiful, like they are smart, like they have a purpose in this life? Would our sons feel like they are men, that they are brave, that they are courageous, that they are loved? Would our wives be filled up by their husbands? Would the husbands be filled up by their wives? God, would we be able to create families through your grace this week that would be so much like the family that you designed us to have, that would be full of love and grace and mercy, that it would be a family that no matter what storm would come, no matter what we come up against, no matter what we come through, that we would always have one another, that we would always be grateful, and that we would always share our gratitude with one another. God, I believe that that's what some families need to start to do this week. And it has to start with one of us. One of us have to be the example of Christ. So will you fill one of us up, at least, God, this week with the Holy Spirit that would transform us and change our families, because it's what we need today in our world. It's what we need today in our culture. And would you help us this week to start to assemble the families that we want to resemble, Lord? That's my prayer for us this morning. So will you change us? As soon as we hit the car, as soon as we walk out the door and we're together, would we be able to start to speak life into one another, Lord? So that we could be transformed and we could assemble these families, God, that will last and that will be loving and that we'll be able to be together, Lord. God, that's my prayer for our church this morning. It's my prayer for our community and our world. In your name we pray. Amen.